Hi, everyone. I'm Maggie McGrath, the editor of Forbes Women, and today we are joined by Carl Eastland. He's the CEO of Planned Parenthood, Greater Washington, and Northern Idaho. And we're going to be talking about a Supreme Court case that happened just today that affects his region. Carl, thank you so much for joining us on what is a very busy news day.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, to summarize, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments today around a case that basically put Idaho state law and a near total abortion ban against a federal law involving emergency medical access. And these two laws are kind of coming into conflict. As the CEO of the Planned Parenthood affiliate in this region, can you tell me what is happening on the ground in Idaho right now? If a person comes to an emergency room pregnant and in need of medical attention, are they getting turned away? What are you hearing from patients?
Yeah, they absolutely are being turned away. It's an incredibly sad situation if you're pregnant in Idaho. I think we've heard from so many doctors who are scared. They're worried about losing their licensure. They're worried about being prosecuted. And so I think it's really important to understand that for someone who is pregnant in Idaho right now, with the prospect of having any kind of an emergency and having to go to the emergency room, they're going to be turned away. And so what we've seen instead is significant amount of individuals coming across state lines, coming to Washington preemptively, not even trying to go to their emergency room in Idaho first.
I was going to ask, have you found yourselves referring patients to Washington?
Oh, certainly. We have several staff who work as patient navigators. And so we're on the phone constantly every day talking to patients who they're either seeking an abortion or they're pregnant and are having emergencies or having, you know, difficulties with their pregnancy and just want to know what resources they have, where they can go, what are safe, friendly places to go. And right now, for those living in Idaho, the best thing to do is to come to Washington. That's really their only option.
So now the Supreme Court heard the arguments today. We expect a decision in the coming months, likely June. What happens if the court rules in favor of the state of Idaho and the folks arguing on behalf of the state?
You know, I think it means Idaho healthcare, just their safety net, their public health systems continue to weaken as it has today. We've already seen doctors leaving Idaho. We know it's hard for Idaho to hire and recruit doctors. For example, up in Sandpoint, which is a rural community in very northern Idaho, they've had to shut down their maternity care. And so patients are already having to drive 45 miles to Newport, Washington. Their maternity services have expanded significantly. And so it'll just be a continuation of what we've been seeing is where Washington is having to take care of Idaho patients. And it's incredibly sad for patients. Those who can travel, it's great that they have the resources to do it, but not everyone has that ability. And so I think it really is hard on patients who struggle, whether they're low income or just have transportation issues.
Or work schedules that don't allow them to travel or take time off from work. We see that from a lot of shift workers. As you talk about doctors, I'm wondering, because we hear this from doctors out of Texas, that they can't even talk about other options for patients who come in. It's basically a gag order because of the state laws around abortion. Are doctors in Idaho able currently to counsel a patient who comes in and who is pregnant and looking for alternatives? What are they allowed to say, or is there an effective gag order on them in Idaho as well?
You know, they're very cautious, and the attorney general in Idaho has not been clear. And so out of an abundance of caution, doctors are telling us that they're just being really overly cautious, and they're referring patients to call into Washington to try to get the answers that they can need. And so that's why we have patient navigators who live in Washington, work in Washington, and they can answer those phone calls and direct people to the best care they can possibly have. So yeah, so in Washington, it's essentially muzzled doctors as well from counseling their patients on how to get the best care possible.
Have you had to effectively reallocate your staff in this environment? Are more people working as patient navigators than were working as navigators 2 years ago?
Significantly so. So I think, you know, when we knew this Dobbs decision happened, there would be a big influx of patients from Idaho. And so yeah, we had to shift staff resources around. We have several clinics that are really close to the Idaho border. And so we just had to make sure that we had the staff and the equipment ready and able to see an influx in patients. And it has been significant between our organization in a different Planned Parenthood that works down in Oregon, the amount of patients that have had to leave Idaho for basic care has been significant for us.
You mentioned basic care. I do know that Planned Parenthood doesn't just provide abortions. A lot of people go for a physical, they go for contraception. Mm-hmm. Are you finding that patients are avoiding Planned Parenthood entirely in this environment because it's becoming synonymous with abortion care?
No, quite the opposite. I think we're known in our communities as trusted healthcare. You know, for patients that are seeking the things we do, we're really the experts when it comes to family planning services. And, you know, we've had patients say recently, if you want an IUD or an implant, or if you need an STI check, there's no better place to go than Planned Parenthood. We're the experts. We deal with it every single day. And so now we've continued to see the value in our communities in Washington, especially, that patients know where to go if they want really expert care.
I saw a report from January. As we talk about the environment that you are operating in, you know, it's not just the law, it's the environment that's facing mm-hmm. you guys. And I saw a report, the headline talked about threats coming to your staff. How hard has it been, let's start on the recruiting side, how hard has it been to get the staff support you need to conduct operations?
You know, I think it's hard for everyone in healthcare right now. And so across the board, there are nursing shortages, doctor shortages, you know, nurse practitioner shortages. So I think it's especially hard in our world, just given the intensity of the work right now. And I think it's also hard with this upcoming election. There's a lot of people really looking to 2024, what this election will mean, and you know, the uncertainty ahead of us as we head into November, and you know, what that might mean. So we're really no different than other organizations in dealing with the healthcare shortage, but because of that, we have several providers who we call them fly in. They fly in from other communities. They care about the work and they want to make an impact in our community. So they're flying to Spokane, or they're flying to Yakima or Pasco, Washington, just to help out as much as they can in our community. So that's been a big help as well.
And what about on the fundraising side? Do cases like today's, Supreme Court hearings like today's, help you raise money?
You know, I mean, we've been fundraising for you know, our entire existence, Planned Parenthood. So they do help a little bit, but I think overall, our supporters have been with us. Most of our supporters have been with us for decades. They know how important this work is. I think recently what we've seen support for is we just call it patient assistance funds for those patients who really have to travel and have a hardship. And we have patients, imagine driving 6 hours from Boise to Kennewick, Washington. That's a big hardship. Some of them have to leave their jobs, take several days off from work, often find daycare for their children. And so it just can become a big hardship. So we've had a lot of donors who've stepped up just to help provide patients with funds that they might need to take this break from their normal lives to get the healthcare that they deserve.
Now, I asked you kind of what happens if the court rules in favor of Idaho and this continued ban. On the flip side, how does the on-the-ground situation change if the court rules in favor of the United States here?
Yeah, I think it helps. It'll be interesting, though. The rhetoric in Idaho is so hostile already. And I think just the absence of doctors not being able to have the freedom to do the best care that they want. I think, you know, Idaho has gone way too far with the total abortion ban. So I think it'll help a little bit for those patients who are really in an emergency and cannot get to Washington. But overall, I think it still puts Idaho in a place. It doesn't bring maternity care services back to some of these hospitals that have had to close those down. And it doesn't bring some of these doctors who have already left. They left mostly because of Dobbs and the restrictions to their care. So I still think it puts Idaho severely behind when it comes to public health and making sure that they can keep their residents safe.
In some other states, we've seen special ballot measures for voters to vote on abortion. We've seen referendums. We've seen some legislative solutions in other states. Is there a legislative solution on the table in Idaho? Is there the potential that this can be solved or fixed on a legislative level?
You know, I think we just to be realistic, we have years of education still ahead of us. I think the Idaho electorate is very conservative, I think often uninformed, and doesn't we need to do more work just to continue to educate voters and make sure they know what's at stake so that they can elect officials that will basically change these laws. So yeah, there is work to be done. There is no legislative solution right now that's, you know, we think has a viable chance in Idaho, but we're not gonna give up. And we know that there's some important work ahead to make that happen.
What are you looking to next? I mean, today was a big day in the court, but what is on your radar for the next month, 3 months, 6 months, et cetera?
I think that that November election, that is on our radar. We have to do well and win. I think, you know, we've seen what has happened with these attacks across the country in various states. We're really lucky to be in a state like Washington where we have such strong support, but federally, we need to have a really good election outcome. So, you know, we want to make sure we continue to take care of patients day in, day out. Our staff do a great job of that, but also do everything we can to make sure we educate voters and they can make the right decision in November.
Is there anything you would say to the Forbes national audience, right? We don't just have viewers in Idaho or Washington, about why this case and why the situation that you're overseeing matters to them?
You know, I would say 88% of women say that they support access to abortion in these kind of situations. This is so sad that we're even having to debate this. This is really what we consider basic care. When you talk to the medical community, this is so obvious that we should be able to let doctors practice within their full scope and do the best that they can for patients. So I think, you know, the message we want to make clear is that this is really sad that Idaho politicians are playing games with people's lives and their ability to have children in the future. And it's sad that that's putting the burden on healthcare providers in Washington to be there in circumstances when we really shouldn't have to do that. We should be able to focus on other things like expanding primary care and expanding mental health and other types of programs. And instead, here we are left fixing some of Idaho's really sad problems.
Did I miss anything? Is there anything that we're not talking about here that we should hit on in our final minutes of this conversation?
No, I think you covered it well. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate hearing your perspective and your insight.